The devil with such wrath knows he has to change his strategy. And the strategy is this. I'm going after their very faith. I'm going after their homes, their marriages. I'm going to try to paralyze every spiritual man and woman on the face of the earth.
There's something in you that says, I can do more. This just can't be it. There's something in you. There's a calling on your life. But I got a saying, when life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of mankind what's in store for you if you challenge yourself, if you persist and persevere.
Because real lions like to hunt. They love the process just as much as they love the prize. And some of y'all just want to score. You don't like the process. You're not in love with the process.
Oh, what a frosty Wednesday it is here in Kansas. We were just talking about that on Facebook Live, that it is cold here. And I imagine that it's probably going to get colder as the it's really weird. We've had this much snow. We had a blizzard in November. That's almost unheard of my entire time I've been out here. But it was a blizzard, too. I was like, wow, so that's what that's like. As a South Carolina boy originally, this is still something I'm getting used to after, man, how long am I? 11 years I've lived in Kansas. So, oh, man. Thank you all for joining us. My name is Cole Davis. Welcome to the Lion's Path Radio Show, video podcast, however you're listening to us. Thank you for joining us. I pray that this message tonight blesses you. Let me see here. Godly Men of Valor, March, the weekend of March 14th and 15th, Dallas-Fort Worth area. Details will be coming soon. It's a pretty good package, guys. I think we'll be very, very blessed by it. And thank you to the gentlemen that are organizing and paying for it and doing some wonderful, wonderful things for the kingdom here. Let me see here. Jasper, Georgia, January 4th. I think January 4th and 5th. That weekend, I will be in Jasper, Georgia, back at the House of Scripture, Friday night and Shabbat. And I think Friday night's just for the guys, though, and then Shabbat's for everybody. So I pray that I see you all there. I love that congregation. They were very good to me last time, and I love them so much. So, all right, let me see here. Jennifer and I, it's really been fun having her as part of the ministry in this one area, of course, and it's something of our testimony. We were on, I think this evening they're airing it, but we did an interview with Raising Up the Remnant, with Now You See TV. I think if you go to their YouTube channel or their live stream, you can watch Jennifer and I talk about our testimony of overcoming betrayal in marriage, overcoming pornography, all those things. We are very vulnerable because I think that, you know, it's kind of one of those moments where it's like, why me? Well, because I chose to do the wrong thing for so long. No, that's penance. I'm just kidding. However, somebody's got to do it. That's literally my heart. And somebody's got to spread the hope that you can overcome it and how it happens. So Now You See TV, live stream, Raising Up the Remnant with Victoria Lucas. Great, great time and interview with them. Let me see here. I think that's it. So I sat down. Normally how I start my teachings, the Father's really been pushing me lately to write more, and that's part of getting this book going. It's one of those deals where nobody tells you how hard it is to write except when you just sit down and just do it. Imagine that. So as I was getting tonight's message together, I sat down, and this is just where he took me. It didn't go where I thought it was going to go. In fact, there were so many conversations I had today that confirmed this that I'm a little taken aback. I'm very humbled to give this message because it's obviously what the Father wants to me to speak on. And I found a poem today that speaks exactly about what we're going to talk. I'm going to lead in with that. And yep, that's right, Sully. So the name of the poem is A Builder or a Wrecker. As I watch them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town, with a ho-heave-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you'd hire if you wanted to build. He He gave a laugh and said, "No, indeed. Just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken years to do." And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule and square? Am I shaping my work to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town, content with the labor of tearing down? O Lord, let my life and my labors be that which will build for eternity. I don't know who wrote that poem, and neither did the source that I got it from. But I thought about that for a second. That really, as I found that today, really spoke to what the Father led me to write about today and to get together. And there's something that we have to understand about how we are built. See, I don't know if you share this with me, but trusting myself has always been an issue. And today's message really helped me with that, because I see where now there's a definitive line between building and tearing down. Many times I try to build and it's so laborious or it's so hard. When destroying something, like, gravity does half the work for you when you destroy something. But building, you are actively working against the forces that pull it to the ground. Looking at the options in my life of indulgence versus abstinence from a particular vice is the conflict of mine and man's heart. Maturity is postponing pleasure for duty or responsibility. Last week we talked about measuring spiritual growth. What I'm feeling, and this kind of ties in with last week's message, what I'm feeling in my heart so much these days is the Father said, it is time to move forward in every sense of the word. And before we move forward, I think that we have to see where we are, see what we're doing, analyze our fruit, look at the quality of our relationships, look at the quality of what we do, measure it, and see where we go, and see what we need to do and improve on. Most of the time, responsibility is about maintaining ourselves or our environments or our relationships. Why do we choose to actively make things better, bring order to things, bring things out of chaos? Why do we choose to do that? Or maintain them instead of allowing them to crumble or rust? Why do we bother? We know that that's the end result. What is that inner motivation in human beings? It has to be the cause and part of our, not the cause, it has to be part of our creation, which is relationship and maintenance, which is exactly what was handed to Adam and Eve in the garden, relationship and maintenance. We were created to maintain a garden and to maintain fellowship. Improving our environment and enjoying relationship. See, we are meant to enjoy this process of maintenance and building. We're meant to enjoy it. It is part of our DNA. The Father didn't just create us for a life of leisure. He gave us responsibility. He gave us active roles in His creation. Dominion in His creation. We're meant to enjoy that. The Hebrew word to build, one of them is bana, which means to build, obviously. It also means to establish, to make firm, to set in place, all those type of things. In fact, there was one of David's mighty men whose name was Benaiah, who means "and Yahweh builds," or "Yahweh builds." You know, we forget how many times in Scripture. I'll pull you out of that accusation. How about this? I forget how many times in Scripture the Father commands people to build things, to cause physical change to their environment, to cause something to erupt from their hands out of nothingness or out of raw materials. Genesis 8, verse 20, then Noah built an altar to Yah and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Why did I choose the altar? Why did I choose the altar? Because you will see in the scripture over and over again, man creating the place, being ordained, being commanded, pouring his heart out to create the place where worship to the Father happens. That is our responsibility. We have had a very passive role, if I dare say. Many of us come from a very, very passive background where we sit and we go, we try to do everything, or rather, God will take care of it. He will provide. He will do these things. Yes, he will, of course. But I will tell you that the Father is not an enabler of laziness. He is not an enabler of laziness. Genesis 11 verse 5 shows how building can go wrong. Where building is actually what man puts his energy, his power, his might toward. Genesis 11, 5, then Yah came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. They were building, uniting, raising up something according to their own will. You will notice that we were not created to celebrate our own abilities. We build so that the Father and man can join together. See, Abraham, who is a Bedouin, if you will, a wanderer, was a builder. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, anywhere he stopped, he built an altar. Now, obviously, we can't build altars today. The commandment came down that there is one altar, and it's in the place where Yah will write his name. Of course, that is Jerusalem. That is the Temple Mount. But the thing that Abraham built more than anything through his wandering, through everything that he ever did, everything was motivated toward building his relationship with the Most High. See, the danger of building going awry, that desire for man to build, to go crazy, to go haywire, the danger of chaos is that both of these core desires, to build and to praise himself, are hijacked. No matter what, we are going to maintain something. We are going to improve or destroy. But the fact that we put our hand to something and cause a change is the essence of free will. Basically, to go this route, an addiction is when this is hijacked by negative emotions and we begin to enter a pattern of maintaining and guarding something with a corrupt behavior. Basically, we are guarding and maintaining a hurt, a wound, a lie, a vow, or something within us. Instead of bringing it before the Father and laying it down, we take our natural calling, our natural design to maintain, and it gets corrupted to maintaining the wrong thing. My question is, what are we maintaining and what are we building? This started off very philosophically. I'm like, what is the point of building? Why would man even raise his hand to alter what the Father created? Of course, you know that if we really believe that the Father set us here simply to do nothing and wait on him to come back and get us, why did he put this desire to build within us? I believe he actually not necessarily even a desire, almost a necessity to build and maintain something. I believe it echoes back to the garden. See, building or to build means to alter and create the world in accordance with our will. The creation and building of man has been the theme of the scriptures, what we put our hand to. Been a theme in the scriptures, sorry. Not the theme. Theme is what the Father's doing. Let me correct that, sorry. When we begin to lay brick upon brick, cast or shape metal, carve wood, or even create beautiful and exotic foods, We put our hand to something and exert our own will upon it. The question becomes, does our will match his will? And are we building his kingdom or our own? So few of us, I think we get shocked oftentimes, especially coming, if you believed in the New Testament before, you know, like you came out of the church or you came out of something, this came out of a religious background, let's just say, and you came into Torah, something that I think caught us all off guard was the cost of taking on Torah. I certainly did not see the cost of the strain it would put on relationships of people that I had fellowshiped with before. Friendships and family relationships were harmed, and I had my part in that. We tend to lay the blame on the truth when we were the ones that brought the truth. I mean, we do have a hand in that. At the same time, I don't think many of us knew the cost of what we were doing. But at the same time, the question becomes, not do I want to be right, but do I want to be righteous? The cost of righteousness is laid out explicitly in the scriptures. If you seek and hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will suffer like the Messiah suffered. We are not above him as our master. He said, Luke 14:28, for which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? I think I definitely didn't do my part and count the cost of what it would do. I didn't have the wisdom at the time. I was very young, and I know excuses, but I didn't know to count the cost. I didn't know that how true the Messiah's words were going to be when it came to the strain, the stepping away from everything, not everything, but a lot of what I've been brought up with was going to change. At the same time, I'm very grateful to say I also did not foresee the restoration that would take place when I was humbled. Not that I humbled myself, I was humbled. I was humbled by a lot of those relationships that I thought were done were actually stronger than I thought. You see building so much in the scriptures. In fact, Peter gives the greatest confession of faith in the scriptures. He says, you are the Messiah. He asks, who do people say that I am? And he gets a lot of answers. Peter makes the confession that he is the Messiah, the only one to do so, to actually believe and say. And it was the Messiah who said after this, Matthew 16, verse 18, and I tell you, you are Kepha, or Peter, and on this rock I will build my ecclesia. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, what the Father establishes, what he establishes within us, is a means and a method, a place. So he gives us three things in order to build his kingdom. He gives us three things. He gives us the arena to operate in. That would be the garden. Let's use the garden as an example. So he gives us the arena to operate in. In the book of Acts, he would send to various cities. They would go out. That's their arena to operate in. You have an arena to operate in. And oftentimes it's a place that you deal with daily. It is your job. It is your family. It is your place of business, whatever it may be, the place you go to the grocery store. It is your arena, your circle, your place. Then he gives us the boundaries. He gives us the commandments. You shall not eat of this. You shall do this. You shall not do this. Be fruitful and multiply. Don't eat this. Eat that one. And then he gives us partners to do it with. He gives us not only, of course, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, if they're part of that with you, if they're part of that walk with you. He also gives us friends. He gives us spouses, people to operate in covenant with. It is not good that man should be alone. So he gives us the arena, the boundaries, and the partners. This is why we have to be very cautious about what we do to destroy ourselves, the kingdom, the credibility of the Father's character by our actions to people who don't know him. In fact, Proverbs 6:32 says this, the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He would destroy himself. He who would destroy himself does it. When we cease to operate in his arena, in his commandments, and we betray our partners, we begin to destroy everything around us. Adam did every single one of these things. He betrayed the arena because the ground was cursed because of him. He broke the commandments, and there was enmity, his wife, toward him. Her desire shall be for her husband. And when we do something outside of the Father's will, we tend to cause more damage than we do good. Genesis 16, verse 2, has a very interesting translation to it. So Sarai, this is Genesis 16, verse 2. So Sarai said to Abram, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, perhaps I will. The word there is build, bana. But in the English it says obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. What's interesting about this, perhaps I will build. Rather, I will be established. I will be firm. I will be legitimate. But what Sarah doesn't understand is this. She's being built up according to her will and her means. The word bana also has, you see it over and over again in the scriptures, to be built up through having children, through a concubine. Literally to be established as a woman through another woman. Not through his plan, not through his provision, but through your means. Genesis 30, verse 3, the same word is used. Here is my maid, Rachel says. Here is my maid, Bilhah. Go into her that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children, that I too may be built or established. When we build out of bounds, if you will, is when we are no longer relying on the providence, the provision, the goodness of the Most High, but taking our own will and building ourselves or trying to establish ourselves. It's the same thing as the Tower of Babel. We will make a name for ourselves. We have to be so cautious about that, brothers and sisters. This is why the Father says over and over again, he tests the inner motives. Why are we doing this? And something may look so innocent. So innocent. Yet, because it's being done according to our own will, we tend to seek to build our own kingdom, whether we want to or not. The method does matter. The motivation does matter. So we come back after the break. We'll talk about what we should be building and what the nature of destruction is. And so my prayer for you tonight is to look at the work of your hands, to do that introspection that we call upon you to do so often on the Lion's Path. What am I building? Am I building my own kingdom or his? Am I trying to establish myself as an authority or submitting to him as an authority? We'll be back here in a couple minutes. Hey, welcome back to the Lions Path Radio Show. Thank you for joining us this evening. OnThatDay.org is our main website. Everything we do on there is for free. You can find everything, all of our resources, and we are getting ready to begin to shoot more videos and do more things. We'll probably have a live demonstration of how to anoint and the four cornerstones of the house and all those type of things. That'll be coming as soon as we can get out there and it thaws out a little bit. So we pour the olive oil out on a rock, it doesn't freeze immediately. But all kinds of things coming your way. And once again, next year I think it's going to be a busy year. I think the Father's freeing me up. We're talking conferences, many, many invitations, and I pray that I see you out on the road. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. And I will tell you that we did, like I said earlier, we did a session with Now You See TV about Jennifer and I's marriage and some of the things we had to overcome. And I could tell you right before I went on the air, I just felt a lot of spiritual weight and attack because the adversary is the enemy of hope. And that message that we gave to Now You See TV, excuse me, is all about hope. It is not hopeless to get past a lot of that stuff. So ladies, not just men build a house. Not just men build a house, Proverbs 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Isn't that interesting? Ladies, you're part of the building too. You are the helpmate in the garden. You helped man with his mission, of course, and you were part of that mission. And you have a responsibility, of course, too. But many times we say, you know, ladies, you know, take a back seat to your man, wait for him to take it. This one's on you. So build your house and build it well, build it in wisdom. Something that I said to my wife this evening, she was saying something so profound. And I said, you know, as I hear her talk more and more these days, I'm hearing why the Father has wisdom be a feminine noun. It's amazing. Destruction is the opposite of building, is an exertion of human will as well. It makes a definitive statement, no matter the object or whether destruction is righteous or unrighteous. As Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, there is a time to build and there is a time to destroy. You see oftentimes in the Torah that they were commanded to go in and destroy. They were called, in Joshua and Judges and Samuel, they were called to go in and destroy the enemy, the cities, the loot, the plunder, whatever it may be. And so that destruction in and of itself is not necessarily, just like building for the wrong reason, you can destroy for the wrong reason. See, there is a time to take apart that which has stood against or has ensnared the people of Yah into meaninglessness. If you are not walking in his purpose, you are walking in meaninglessness. If you are not actively seeking him, you are actively seeking meaninglessness. The nature of destruction is to come against that which has stood. In order to destroy something, the thing you're destroying, it has to have stood. It has to have been established. Something that is weak is very easily destroyed. Yes, it was established, wasn't established in strength. To come against the established or the expected. To see something rising from the ground or existing for a long time means that it is established. Also see how valuable it is to the fallen world or to Yah's people, whichever one that may be. The routines and rituals of man become the expected. Soon, with regard to both the established and the expected, the heart of man will come against it, whether for his purpose, the Most High's purpose, or their own. The minds of men have been given to devise. That's not necessarily a bad thing. They will see potential to praise Yahweh and establish his name, or they will choose to exalt themselves. Once again, the choice that we make. Understand that one of the surefire signs that destruction is coming your way is to become proud. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, what's interesting is that so many structures in this world have been built to glorify or honor men. And they exist to be grandiose, to be larger than life. We're still building many towers of Babel if we're not careful. I would dare say that there are some, I lived in Europe for 3 years, there are some buildings over there that were built in the name of Elohim, yet were for the exaltation of man's institutions. And I'll leave it at that. See, the more grandiose, the more men appreciate it. We look at what man has done, and while we can respect it, we've got to be careful that we don't end up worshiping it. See, the hands of men stack bricks and exert time, effort, and strength and vision, but all for pointlessness if it's in the name of praising men. Or their work glorifies the Almighty and aligns itself with His purpose and thus lives on in the Almighty's book of remembrance talked about in Malachi. You know, something that we have to understand also is that neglect can be sometimes just as powerful as destruction. It just seems to take longer. It's not actively destroying, but it's leaving something to destruction. I feel like I should say that again. It's not actively destroying something. It is leaving something to destruction. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. He is not actively maintaining the integrity of his household." We are a people who were born to keep, maintain, prune, guide, have dominion over. If we choose not to do that, we are not walking in the plan of the Most High at its most base level. Proverbs 18, verse 9. Very, very powerful word. Very powerful word. Proverbs 18, verse 9. "He also who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys." Negligence is destruction. It is just negligent destruction. It is passive destruction rather than active destruction. So what is the answer to that? The answer to that act of leaving something to be broken down by the elements, whether it be your, and I'm going to go back to this for a second. A lot of guys, when I did a demonology teaching called Passive Males, a lot of men got upset with me because they, in fact, one in particular said to me, he says, "Yeah, I remember when you said in your video that because I'm not taking care of my family, that I'm working for the devil." Yep. All the Proverbs 18, verse 9. "He who is slack in his work is brother to him who destroys." Now, another version says this. "He who is slack in his work," "is brother to the destroyer," is how it's worded. Brother to the destroyer. Now, there are no capital letters in the Hebrew text that we know of. What if that, though, is meant to be a capital D? "He who is slack in his work is brother to the destroyer." Gentlemen, no matter what, we are connected to powerful moments, whether through our blessing, through our destruction, and dare I say, through our negligence. We convey powerful messages to the world, no matter what. That is why the adversary and the world is working so hard to marginalize us. You will not get away with burying your talent, lest you be brother to the destroyer. So oftentimes, we have to maintain, of course. A couple of great quotes I found about maintenance is this. Kurt Vonnegut, who, take it or leave it, another flaw in the human character is everybody wants to build and nobody wants to do maintenance. Building is dramatic. Building has change. Building is accomplishment. Maintenance is holding off destruction. And that's not as glamorous as something wasn't there, now it is. It is something is still here because of me. There's a quiet nobility to that. I hope you can hear that. Craig D. Lonsbrow writes, "We want a fresh start only because we didn't sufficiently care for the last fresh start." I thought that was really powerful. Oftentimes we want to start over because we failed to maintain the last time we started over, the last chance we had. Not that the Father won't give it, but let's be honest with ourselves. That's a harsh word, I know, but at the same time, and of course he's going to give us the second, and he's going to, if we repent, it's 70 times 7, that's all well and good. But understand this, that oftentimes the reason we need a fresh start is because we backslid from the momentum we had at the last time. But understand this about maintenance. Maintenance is ongoing building. You have to look at it that way. I am still building in little ways to make sure that the building stays built. Literally keeping something built. Is that not what we are commanded to do in our spiritual walk? Now, oftentimes we have to start over. I got that. We have to. Sometimes we went down the wrong road. We went down there a long way. We built something we shouldn't have built. We have to tear it down. At the same time, to maintain something, every Levite priest in the tabernacle was part of the maintenance. You hear it over and over again in the temple. You hear the restoration. Isn't it interesting that the Father gave me this message literally the weekend before, the week before Hanukkah starts, which is where they had to go in and reestablish something, rebuild something, rededicate something, our Levites in our past, the men who ensured that there was an Israel for my Messiah to be born into. Amen. See, this is where in our walk, maintenance has to happen, and maintenance is done through forgiveness. See, forgiveness rebuilds that which was destroyed. If we look at forgiveness in the sense of building, forgiveness repairs what sin broke. One side or the other. Repentance is important in rebuilding a relationship, but forgiveness repairs even if you have to repair yourself by letting go of the wound and repairing the breach, the crack, yourself. Sometimes we have to demonstrate to the Father that we, even though we don't have restoration in a relationship with someone we love or that we did love or that somebody hurt us, we have to take that step forward and maintain ourselves through the tools that he gave. Proverbs 10 verse 12 says this, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." And I got the image in my head of, as I read that in light of what I was talking about with forgiveness, if they choose not to love me anymore, I still know that I am loved by the Holy, that by the Heavenly Father, by my Messiah, and that love that they have for me and the love that I accept and value for myself that I have, I literally look at it like the mortar going into the cracks of a stone wall, in between the stones, holding it all together, repairing the weak place, the place that was weakened. You see the trowel dip into the bucket, and love covers all offenses. The other, you see, the thing is, my brothers and sisters, Ephesians 4:32 says this, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Elohim and Messiah forgave you." All three of those are connected. because to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, means I am not going to put strain, or I am definitely not going to strike or crash into your structure of your life, your structure of your sense of self, your structure of who you are in our relationship. I'm going to be kind, tender-hearted, and if there is a problem between us, we are going to maintain the integrity and forgive one another so that love covers everything that came in to destroy. Everything that came in to put strain and stress and strife on what was established that the Father established. You see this in marriages, what let no man tear apart what Elohim has brought together. That is a blessing. That is a word that just, you have to, in a relationship that intimate, constantly be forgiving and repenting to one another so that it can continue. So they can continue not just to be rebuilt. And sometimes there is a major breach that happens. There is a betrayal that happens. And we have to rebuild a person or a relationship or a structure of our lives. And we have to do that oftentimes through forgiveness and repentance. The Father forgives us to repair the breach between us and Him that we caused. So the question is, why do I rush to find my wounds and my sins that need to be forgiven and need to be healed? Why do I rush to do that? For the sake of our relationship, for what He has built in me. So I can see where I have my part in relation, in building that relationship. He already wants the relationship. He's offering the repair, offering the means to bring us back together. See, kindness and gentleness does exactly the opposite of what the world says. The world says struggle and strife, struggle and strife out by the world's means, if you will. That's what makes you strong. No, that's what makes you cold. That's what makes you cut people off. That's what makes you hard when we shouldn't be hard. I hear over and over again, well, the world's not going to, you know, the thing about it is the world is not going to take care of you and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? My family is supposed to. My relationship with the Father, my family, my mishpachah, my fellowship, my community of faith, it's supposed to take care of me. That is a place I'm supposed to find harbor, that I'm supposed to stop and heal and get stronger. When you are doing bodybuilding and you're putting your body under all that stress and strife, what they don't tell you until you're into all of it is the absolute most essential part of that process is not what you eat. It is how much sleep and rest you get in return. Because I have to have a place and a time for my body to rebuild itself. Mark 11, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. If we are insisting on keeping part of our life broken, we are entering into our own will, our own means, our own definition of how valuable that relationship was. We are entering into building our own tower. Matthew 6, verse 15, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We are called to be builders. See, the Father builds upon those who build His people, whose mission is to bring people up, not tear them down. Religion and the religion of man will inevitably tear people apart and leave them torn apart. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. As it is working. Notice that it has to do with bringing healing to not only ourselves, but to our relationships and everything around us. Matthew 7:24-27. Everyone who then hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall because of it. In fact, Ecclesiastes 9:10 says something. It's kind of morbid. Of course it is. It's Ecclesiastes. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I say all. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Meaning this, folks, make an impact today. Build something today. Our hands build fellowship. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. The point of fellowship is to build. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. I used to not understand why people were seeking out fellowship so hard, because in all the hits that you take in the world, you need your brothers and sisters to encourage you, to lift you up in prayer, to speak life to you, to build you up. Let me put something strong to you out there. If the fellowship that you are part of is not building you up and pushing you toward the kingdom, encouraging you to run the race, it is not fellowship. Fellowship builds. Fellowship builds. Ephesians 2:19-22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of Elohim, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for Elohim by the Spirit. We are being built so that he may dwell within us and among us. And there is no other foundation than our Messiah. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. No other foundation will hold us up. He is the rock, the stone that the builders rejected. I am not joining my brothers and sisters on the foundation of Torah. I am joining it on the foundation of Messiah Yeshua so that I may keep the Torah. My brothers and sisters, analyze yourself. Am I lifting up, bearing up, being kind, gentle, encouraging one another? Am I building? We'll see you next week.